Welcome back. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Unapologetically Living. I am your host, Lady B. Again, we're back with another hot episode. Today, we are talking about living in your lifestyle of coming from either a childhood or adolescent of how did you grow up? Did you grow up in a loving family, a cuddling family, or did you grow up with just survival? Did you just learn how to survive, make sure you stayed out of trouble, make sure you was able to make ends meet, you was able just to go through day by day? And then how did that affect you in your adult life? Did you go through, you know, the same things when you transitioned? How is life? So today, I have my views and my points on it, but as always, I always like to bring in other people, other guests, to see how other people feel about it, what they have encountered in their lives, what they went through in life, how was they raised, how do they have relationships, how do they interpret their businesses, their colleagues, things like that. So today I bring to you Miss Lori. I'm gonna let her introduce herself and then we're gonna start chit-chatting. Go ahead, Lori. Let them know about you and what you got going on.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lori. I'm an empowerment and spiritual love coach. I work with clients one-on-one. I have courses. I do a lot of I don't have my own podcast, but I'm on a lot of podcasts. I've done summits. I try to do challenges every now and then. I'm a single mom. Brought up my daughter by myself. Have two cats, you know.
Okay. Now, when you do the coaching, do you do virtual or is only in person?
I don't think I've done any in person, actually. Okay. Honestly, it's usually like phone call, or it depends on whether if they're comfortable with meeting me up on Zoom. Mm-hmm. But most of them are just phone calls.
Okay.
I think people are more open when they're not staring at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just asking because a lot of people, some people want to know, like, do I have to be in her actual state, you know, to have book an appointment, or can I do it virtually from anywhere? So that's good that people listening can know that, you know, they want to find you and contact you and they want to have a session, that they can have it no matter where they reside, in the U.S. or even outside of the U.S. because everyone has access to a computer or a phone. Mm-hmm. These days. Okay. Well, we're going to jump right into it now. Personally, how would you say growing up for you? Actually categorize yourself as one or the other, as having a loving childhood, adolescent, or do you say you think you just barely made it through?
I just barely made it through.
Oh.
Yeah. I grew up in abuse and trauma. So Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know it was abuse. Like, I thought that's just how children were treated. It wasn't until my 20s when I, you know, as I was growing up and started taking classes, cause I didn't go to college right away, cause I was told I was too stupid. Wow. And so I actually believed that. And it wasn't until I started learning about it, I'm like, wait, you know how you get those moments where you're like, that's what's abusive. That's abuse.
Right.
Wait a minute. That I was abused. What? Right. Wait, what? I thought that was normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
wow. That's crazy. It's crazy. But I mean, it makes sense though. Mm-hmm. It makes sense because how would you know it's not bad treatment if that's the only treatment you got?
Exactly.
You don't know that it's another form of treatment that you're supposed to be getting treated better than that. That's not normal. That's crazy. Oh, wow. Now, moving on into your, did you start dating early? Did you did it actually cause you to go into abusive relationships or have any issues with addictions like drugs or alcohol or?
Thankfully I did not. Now boys. Yeah. I chased boys because, you know, cause there's a part of me, you know, cause my father didn't love me. And so, yeah, of course I went running after someone to love me. Like, I thought love came from outside of myself. And so, yeah, and I can remember talking with some youth kids because I used to be a youth sponsor, and I'd be like, you can't outstupid me. Like, there's nothing you can tell me that's going to be, I'm going to go, what? You did what?
Right.
Because, like, I did all of it because I didn't know there was anything different. I thought people were supposed to treat me badly because I didn't think I was worth anything. So, Okay. Yeah.
Now, wow.
which is also why I'm a, you know, single mother, you know, because when you're running around doing bad choices, things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Now, looking back on your life, do you think that when you meet other people, not just your clients, but in general, when you're meeting people in general, do you think that a lot of people can actually track it back to where the breaks started, like you tracked yours back to your childhood. Do you see that people have a hard time with tracking it back to where the abuse started in their life?
No. Okay. Actually, okay. I think that once, you know, because you can guide them back. It's almost like I describe it as like you're almost following a string backwards.
Okay.
Because your subconscious, I believe your subconscious holds every memory, every moment. And mm-hmm. it even holds energy from, because there's even stories of things that have happened when you're in the womb. The stress from the mother, that energy mm-hmm. is transferred to the baby. So yeah, you can follow that string back if you really want to.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting you said, because I actually, last season I had a womb prep coach, and she actually enlightened me to a lot of things. And we still follow each other on social media. And even some stuff she posts now, and she was saying that it's things that I may experience in my womanhood, like trace it back to your mother. And with, mm-hmm. and if she's still living, see if you can find out some of the things she was going through when she was carrying you, some of the traumas and things she experienced during those times. I was like, wow. So yeah, you're definitely spot on with that. I didn't even know until I met her, and I'm 40, that like you can trace some things back to even from the womb. I was like, wow, that's deep. do you think that it's hard when you start dating and you like serious of when you try to meet with people and date them if they haven't like really did that internal work, that spiritual work, and they want to have a long-term relationship with you? Like if you meet somebody and they had the same similar traumas, but they haven't did the spiritual work, do you still go ahead and try to proceed the relationship, or you just try to guide them to get find that spiritual peace?
The second. Because I call it the love bucket. So if, you know, for all, like I tell people, all those years that I, you know, lived through abuse and I didn't understand that I could fill that bucket myself, I was just dragging this empty, dusty bucket along going, please fill it, someone mm-hmm. fill it. You can't, it's not somebody else's job. And so if you don't understand that you have the ability to tap into that love energy and fill it up yourself, so that's so overflowing, I will never be in a relationship with anyone unless their bucket's overflowing.
Oh, because, I love it.
Because you can't give what you don't have. So I can't expect mm-hmm. someone to love me in the way, because my bucket's overflowing mm-hmm. at this point. So if you can't mm-hmm. meet those boundaries, I guess you could say, because I'm not filling your bucket for you. Mm-hmm. But now if you have two people coming together and their buckets are overflowing, now imagine that relationship, because I don't need this person to fulfill me. I don't need this mm-hmm. person to make me happy, and they don't mm-hmm. need me. But together, it's abundance.
Right. Because right? we're overflowing yep. both together. So we won't have a problem with coming together, because we both right. are already flowing on our own. We like, because that makes perfect sense. That's good. I'm definitely going to share this with my single girlfriends that's dating. Stop yeah. with this empty bucket mentality. You have to be at peace with yourself mm-hmm. With dating. Definitely. Yes. That's a good thing. Yeah. Because I think... Yeah, because like what you're saying, that I think they pick it up as soon as you can start going the first and the second date. Mm-hmm. They can pick it up that you got that empty bucket and you're looking for them to fill yeah. the void, you know.
And it doesn't feel good when you've got the full bucket and they start getting, they're needy, and you're like, oh no, fill your own bucket. That's not my job, you know. You're empty over here. Do things yeah. for yourself. Yeah. But it also, that's an energy. There's an energy, because when your bucket's empty, you're coming from a place of fear and lack and needy. Mm-hmm. You're needy because you're desperately seeking someone to fill this bucket. Mm-hmm. And so you're already going to attract. So that's the thing. Like, and I am like prime example, because of my abuse for years, I just attracted people that kept filling that abuse, because I was used to what it felt like. And I'm always at that fear and lack and that desperate need for love, that I just kept bringing people that made me feel fear and lack and a need mm-hmm. for love, because the energy you put out is what you're bringing to you. So if you right. really want to have a loving relationship, you must first love yourself so much that that bucket's overflowing, because mm-hmm. then you're at that love. So then you're way up here on this love frequency. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to attract all the men up here, or women, right. depending on who you're looking for.
Right.
And you're going to attract the right person that you want for you.
Okay. That makes sense. That really makes sense. Now, do you think that more now, since we're moving like into 2022, that now we're in a day and time and ages where people are starting to be more aware? Because I'm starting to see the conversation is circled around now way much more of that. Hey, people are raised differently. People go through different trials and tribulations growing up they experience so many different things. And this is why, like you say, when they reach the adulthood and they're trying to find serious relationships, it's a disconnect. Do you think that more now we're more comfortable with talking about this more than we did back in the days?
Honestly, I think since COVID hit and people mm-hmm. were forced to stay home, they were like forced to look inward and go, ooh,
mm-hmm. right.
Maybe, you know, since I have all this quiet time, I should maybe right. work on some of this stuff that I've got, you know, inside of me. I think it went either way. Like either they embraced it and grew and enlarged their visions, or mm-hmm. they went to the, you know, crazy side. And we see it in the news all the time. Not right. everybody embraced it. Some people are like, whoa, what is going on with you right now?
Right.
So I think it depends, but I do feel like there was a huge awakening when that happened because people mm-hmm. were forced to look in the mirror because where else were they going to go?
Right.
There was nowhere else to go.
Right. Yeah. Because I do know since the pandemic, a lot of relationships, unfortunately, even some marriages didn't last. They broke up because they mm-hmm. now you can't just run and go to work. You know, you can't just run and go run errands or take the kids to the school or go to the supermarket, or, you know, you're like you say, you was forced to actually be in the household mm-hmm. Together. Because I know even with me, I'm in real estate. I've had a married couple clients. And they were like, at first they were like, oh, great, we get to be at home. We, you know, and then they were, then one of the husbands, he said to me, he was like, then I was like 3 weeks into this. So we don't get no break from each other.
Wait a minute.
So we have to be in the house 24 hours a day. Yeah. Like this is just not what I thought it was going to be. Because like you say, you really got to look within. You're like, wait a minute. I thought it was okay to marry this person and be with this person. Like, I'm starting to see some things. And then even with yourself, you start to see some things about yourself. Like, wait a minute. I don't like this feeling of being with this person, you know? So yeah, definitely I do. Cause that's what I was asking. Cause I've noticed that it's been much more of awakening. Recently in the past, like 2 years, people are starting to talk more about their insides, about not, you know, of trying to grow, trying to develop more than ever before. Some stuff was like, especially with my decade in my 40s, you know, my generation was like hush, hush, especially like my mother's generation. It was like, even if you had problems, you didn't tell nobody,
nope.
you know what
nobody
I'm saying?
Needs to know what,
nobody
what
like,
happens
right.
in the house doesn't yes. leave this house.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And people just suffered in silence. Like, you know, you could be working with someone, they could have an alcohol addiction or their spouse, and they could be going through hell. But when they came to work, you knew nothing.
Yep.
You know,
a smile on their face and
yes.
push through it.
Yes. Yes. And then if something tragic happened, everybody would be surprised. Like, I had no clue because yep. they never was spoke out. So I'm actually proud of this generation now because I do see that they're trying to actually talk more about certain things, and certain people are starting to, you know, to own up to say, hey, I don't have to seem like I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't have to feel like, you know, my childhood was perfect. My adolescent years was perfect. And I tell people, my parents, they did the best they could. You know, they yeah. did. I was blessed. I didn't experience any abuse or anything, but they did do the best they could during those times with what they had, because they were going off their own intellectual knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So some things they just wasn't experienced with life itself to prepare, you know? So that's why I did the podcast, because I'm always interested in how people that's toxic and have such a lot of work to do, they always tend to pick up the other people that say, well, I didn't grow up like that. I grew up love and affection and everything was okay. But like you said, they still have that void, even though they may not have an abusive home or life, they still have that void somehow. And those energies are attracting each other. That person is finding you with those energies. Now, to talk about with your clients, now, have you seen some of your clients have a success? Well, after, you know, a series of sessions with you, have you seen them be able to move and progress in their life, even in love or their profession, their careers?
Mm-hmm. Even in their marriages. Yeah.
Okay.
There's one in particular I can think about. And when I first started talking with her, like their finances were out of control. Their marriage was falling apart. I'm like, she had a lot of anger. And it was kind of fun to be that guide, because you get to see those light bulb moments and the shift. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden all these money, like once she changed her mindset of how, you know, money should look in her life, like when you have those thoughts of course that happened to me, that money's scarce, you know, when you have that scarce mentality. So when she started picking up the ability, oh, I want to receive, and there is money everywhere. $1 million already exists. Why can't I have $1 million?
Right.
And I started to see it shift. Like all of a sudden the husband got the raise that he was supposed to get a long time ago. And then on top of that, then he got a promotion, and I remember some of their house, like they got this huge deal on this refinancing of their house, which saved them a bunch of money. And then they actually gave them a month break. Like all these amazing things started to happen just because she started changing the energy of her thought pattern.
So that's amazing. Great.
Yes. It's amazing to watch and be guiding them towards, are you sure that's what you want to think right there?
Right. I love it. I'm glad that you talked on that, on changing the mindset, because I just realized that, like I said, when I got in my 40s, last year, like this, that's what it's all about. Your mindset play a big role on it. Now, actually, do you do like an actual, how do you get them to get on the track to change their mindset? Do you have them to have like daily affirmations? Do you have them do like different exercises with you or with themselves to kind of help them get out that negative, mindset that it's just woe is me?
Right. And it depends, because everyone learns different and everyone responds to different ways, because there is different ways. And I have to say that for me, one of my gifts is being able to channel wisdom and knowledge, which I'm not sure if people realize there is a law of divine oneness. Everything is connected. Therefore, we have access to all the wisdom and all the knowledge for ourselves. It's just a matter. I don't really say so much as a coach, as a guide. I help guide people to understand themselves better so that they know how to tap into their intuition. And I think if I was really going to say something to pinpoint, is to start paying attention to the thoughts that run through your head, because we're so used to thinking that, oh, because I have this thought, I just need to say, oh yeah, it must be right. Like, so for instance, I'll use myself. So through my head, because I was told I was stupid all the time. I was stupid and worthless, would never amount to anything, and I can't do anything right. So those are the thoughts that were always popping through my head. So it wasn't until I started going, wait, what was that? Wait, am I really unlovable? Am I really unworthy? Am I really stupid? No, that's not even possible.
Right.
I did a live not too long ago. It's not even possible to be stupid, because you are connected to all knowledge and wisdom. It's completely impossible to be stupid. You have knowledge all within you. So it just depends what they need. I'm going to say I'm huge on journaling.
Okay.
Mostly because, one, you can't remember everything. Two, when you do start really learning how to dig into intuition, you want to get all that knowledge written down, because like I said, there's been times when I first really started doing this, like 12 years ago, where I really started just connected to intuition and writing it down. I can remember there'd be nights I'd go to sleep and I'd wake up and like, oh, I didn't get anything. And I'd look at my book and there'd be like 2 pages. And I'm like, what?
I can't
remember it. And I can go back now, like a decade ago, and read something and be like, oh, intuition just said that to me like the next week. He told me that 10 years ago. And I wasn't, whoa, why didn't that stick? It doesn't, we know we only can process so much information at once. So learning to journal, and not only that, but as you go on, because it is hard to get started. And sometimes you feel like you're not making any progress, but if you're writing it all down, and I always tell them, if you just take a step a day in 1 year, that's 365 steps. And you can look back and go, wow, who was that person? Who was that person back then? Look at me now. So when you have those days where you're like, oh, nothing's working, you can go pull out your journal, go, oh, this worked. Oh yeah, that happened. Oh wait, this is working. So yeah, I'm huge for journaling. Just listening to yourself.
That's a good tip. Those are very good tips, because you do get in those type of modes where you feel like nothing's working. I'm not having any progress. I haven't had a good day this year, and we're in December, and they'll be like, I haven't had a good day yet. But you say you have something to look back on and say, no, if it's December, look what all happened all these 11 months beforehand. I did have a good year. Do you find that age? Do you think that age play a role? Because that's another podcast that I'm going to do as well, because I see that a lot of my girlfriends, like I said, in my 40s, most of my girlfriends are in their late 30s and on. It's like, they look for different things, versus when you get older versus they did when they were younger. Do you see the same for yourself, or how do you feel? Do you think because you do the work internally, do your list get longer or shorter?
For me, longer, lots longer, because I'm not going to settle. Like I said, I'm not going to get in a relationship with someone whose bucket's half empty or totally empty or 3/4, you know, because they're not gonna be able to give me anything, because they are they're not full themselves. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody wants to give you $100, but they only have a dollar, they can't give it to you. Mm-hmm. So it's the same with loving themselves, how they feel about themselves. And I want, you know, to have a relationship with someone who is on that journey, understanding they are constantly growing and they are constantly mm-hmm. learning. And plus a really good skill set too, is to be able to look back and go, yeah, I did that once, but you know what? That's okay. I didn't know any better back then. So it's okay. Instead of going, I don't want that person that's always, oh my God, you did this. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to
right.
that low energy. Like I don't want to have to be that person. It's okay to lift someone up once in a while,
mm-hmm.
but every day to try to fill their right. bucket and be like, yes, you're awesome. Yes, you look good. Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I think it depends, because I know a lot of 20-year-olds that have it together. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow, I wish I was like that at 20.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, me too.
You are smart and wow.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends. Everyone's journey is different and everyone's journey is beautiful, which is another thing I always get into the head. Stop mm-hmm. looking next door. Mm-hmm. They haven't been through all the junk you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a lot to go and understand that everything is a stepping stone. It's not a mistake. It's not a wrong turn. It's not a oops. It's a learning moment, and you take mm-hmm. those learning moments and you build steps. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a whole bunch of learning moments and you go boom, 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 you're all of a sudden you're way up there. You're like, woo, it's pretty up here.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of how you embrace it and how you look at it.
All right. That is really good. Wrapping up, what would you say overall is your greatest achievement with your clients? Like you said, helping the one with the marriage, would you say it's another overall great achievement of, since you've been a spiritual guidance with your clients, is there anything overall that you can say has sticks out to you that you has like, okay, this is my aha moment that a lot of people need to hear or understand?
I think the aha moment is the idea that, oh my gosh, I can feel my own love bucket. I can decide to love all throughout the day. I don't mm-hmm. have to go down what I call the rabbit hole. Like I could have a thought pop in my head and go, oh my gosh, you're worthless. And go, wait a minute. No, I'm amazing. Mm-hmm. I reject that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, and those are usually the ones where I'll have people even pop onto my Facebook group or whatever. And they're like, I got through the whole day. And I did get mad at anyone one single time. Cause I went into the day going, I'm not getting mad today.
Right.
And yeah. Those are the things. Those are the highs that I really like, when those moments when they realize, look how freaking powerful I am. Look mm-hmm. how much I can master my own mindset. Look how I can master, you know, my frequency, and look what I'm pulling into my world.
Mm-hmm.
Buckets overflowing. Okay. I don't need all this other stuff.
Yeah. That's good. I'm definitely going to let my teenager hear. And so he can, because you know, he's in the self personality mode, you know, when the personality is developing, because mm-hmm. he's going to be 16. Yeah. And so, yeah, it definitely needs to understand that I can fill my own bucket, you know, because he's just now starting with dating and, yep. you know, making those, trying to make those permanent, serious friendships. And, you know, those, like I told him, high school and college friends are different. Sometimes you stay friends mm-hmm. with people from high school. Sometimes it's your college friends that may stick around for a lifetime. But, you know, he's learning how to like categorize those friendships, relationships, like you say, at the same time, fill your own bucket. Mm-hmm. Don't look to them to be your bucket filler, if it's for a friendship or for a relationship. So that's definitely great. I'm definitely, when he's editing and uploading, I'm listening.
You are the master of your own world.
Yeah.
I wish they taught that, because my background is education, and I wish they would teach that in schools.
Okay.
Your thoughts are energy and what you're thinking. Okay. Because I would have these discussions with kids all of the time. You are not stupid.
Okay.
It's okay to make mistakes. I would purposely make mistakes. I actually got into a conversation not too long ago with someone. Teachers are always right. I'm like, that's not how I rolled. I straight out told them, because I taught math. I'm like, you better watch me.
Okay.
I will make a mistake. And you're going to have to catch it, and you're going to have to go back and tell me how to fix it. I would sometimes do it on accident, sometimes on purpose. It just depends on, you know, because they also had it. You got to be able to learn to fix your mistakes. And I wish more.
You know, that's good.
Was into that. Like, what do you do when you do make a big old mistake? Because guess what? Something's going to go wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
How are you going to handle it?
What grade level
did you teach? I taught 7th grade.
Oh, wow. So you were really good then, because usually that's junior high levels.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's good. You said, watch me. I might make a mistake. You
better
need to learn.
Me. I did. I always told him, like, and you don't know what's going to come along. Half the time, I don't either. I would surprise myself. Like, you better watch me because, and they would. They got to the point where they'd be like, oh, I don't think that's right. I'm like, where? Where isn't it right? Oh, yeah. Good catch. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because crap happens. I'm not perfect. I'm not going to pretend to be. So, yeah.
Can you, what would you say would be your age? If you want to say, if you would like to say, what was your age that you think was your was when your mind changed, when your mindset did that shift?
Oh, geez. Probably my 30s.
Your 30s. Okay.
I had a lot of abuse to get through. That's why I tell people, don't think you're going to change automatically overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, don't compare yourself.
Right.
Because I use myself an example. Like I had, you know, 30 years of garbage because I just kept listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't undo, like, it was a lot of serious unraveling and a lot of junk I had to pull out. It's like, almost like you have, imagine a big closet in your house for 30 years. Mm-hmm. You're just shoving all this junk in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the hoarder shows.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And they won't let it go. They'd be stacked up to the ceiling. They won't let it go.
Yeah. It's literally falling out and they're tripping over it. And they're like,
yeah,
oh, good. We do that in our lives. We, you know, our thought, no, that's okay. No, it's fine. No, no. Bring it up. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I love your mindset. I love how you think, because it's actually very true. It's very true. You control your own mindset. You control your day. And like you said, when stuff happens, you have to be really willing to acknowledge it's a problem and be willing to problem solve it, but get over it. Solve the problem, get over it. And some stuff you have to get rid of, like you said. So I think I love your mindset, because you're basically guiding your clients to control their selves within. Like, don't look for a certain book to cure you, a certain medicine to cure you. It all starts with you. Or don't look to your spouse, your family, you know, it's all within you. You know, because we always think that it's always the outside. The outside, well, if like you say, you're a single parent, if the other parent, if you're having co-parent, if that person would just act right, we could be the perfect parent.
Great. Right. Him would fix it.
Right.
Now, right. You know, fix him years ago. I'm like, eh.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, so we always look to the out person. Well, my coworker, if she just stops saying good morning to me, we won't have issues. If she just don't say anything to me for 8 hours, you know, I'll have a good day. So yeah, I love the fact that you're teaching people that you can control you. You don't, you can't put that power in someone else's hand,
exactly.
No matter wherever you are in the world, if it's at a job, if it's a business, if it's a relationship, even if it's like you said, even with my son, I'm definitely gonna let him listen, because I love your analogy, even when you were teaching your students with math. And like you said, a lot of teachers need to have, like, you need to do what they call the teachers in service, where you talk with the teachers when they're having their staff meetings, where you let them know. That's another analogy, another strategy of teaching.
And I did.
You did?
I did, because I'm also a hands-on, fidgety person.
Okay.
We were having a meeting and someone was complaining about some kid tapping or something.
Yeah.
Like, don't make him stop, because if he's not, like, if I'm just looking at you, you think I'm paying, I'm not. I'm not paying attention. Those kids have to have that sensory something. Let them have it, because if you don't, they're not listening to you.
You know what? I'm actually gonna I'm gonna get your information when you went, because you, I'm gonna let you actually shout out your information now in a few minutes, but I'm gonna actually have you send it to me as well, because one of my girlfriends, she's actually a new teacher here in Texas with me, and she's, I believe she's high school, and it's definitely some issues that she can talk with you and you know, probably be your client and go over with you, that you can help her even with teaching, because she's having some issues with the high school students. And she's from, not from Texas. So she's thinking, like, is it just, you know, how they behave in this area? Like, you know,
no,
like,
it's everywhere.
Right. Like, why are they
kids?
Yeah. Cause she's like, why are they, you know, this is not working for me.
Yep. I did. I spent like 6 years with kids locked up, and it was all high school, and I had to teach every single subject that they needed. We had some interesting conversations. We did.
I'm definitely going to pass on your information, because she would need that extra that teacher experience mm-hmm. of how, like you said, dealing with those students that are super fidgety, for or they have their you know, they're talking, things like that. Yeah, you're an excellent resource. Oh, I'm so glad I connected with you. Yep. You just never know who's out there in the world. Right. And even if it's for me or somebody else, that's why I do podcasts with people, no matter wherever they are, whatever they bring to the table, because it's something new that you would never know. If you only talk to other people, if you only talk to your family, your neighbors, your friends, you will never know what's out there. You will never know there's people out there that went through what you went through. Like your analogy with teaching, I've never heard of that, but it's very effective. And Texas is my third state. And I've never heard a teacher put that into actual teaching skill, mm-hmm. like teaching the kids problem solving for life while we're in math class.
Yeah, I do. I would stop. I remember something about tennis shoes, and I asked them, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, why do you think tennis shoes cost $200? And they're like, because they're. I'm like, what do you think would happen if we stopped paying $200? Do you think the price will go down, or do you think the price will go up? And they're like, mm-hmm. I'm like, no one's buying it. What are they going to do?
Right.
Well, the price would probably go down. Exactly. So stop buying $200 shoes. Yeah, I told them that. Yeah, I would do stuff like that.
I know they have so much fun. Oh, wow. Where were you 3 weeks ago? My teenage son was going through his first heartbreak from his first relationship. Where were you? Because you would have got him together.
Probably talking to another 16-year-old my daughter was playing games with on the computer. Uh-huh. I really was. I was just talking to a 16-year-old not too long ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, he just thought life was so cruel and it was just so hurtful. And, you know, and I was like, it's life. It goes on. People change their mind. They, you know, they come to school today and they say, no, I don't want to be your girlfriend anymore. And I just don't. And I'm going to find, I found somebody else tomorrow.
Yeah, especially at that age.
Yes, exactly. Any last comments? And also you want to share where they can find you on social media?
Yes, my website, Soul Love Legacy, my Facebook, Soul Love Legacy, my Instagram, Soul Love Legacy. The only thing different is my TikTok is Abundance with Lori.
Okay.
That's the only one that's different. Otherwise, it's always Soul Love Legacy.
Okay, I love it. I'll put your information in the actual podcast platforms as well. You heard it here. You can always reach out to Miss Lori. She is, as you see, she has an abundance of knowledge from personal to relationships, even with teenagers. Even with teenagers, kids in general, it's something for everybody. So you don't have to feel like she's just for people that just experienced trauma and abuse. Even if you just want to talk about parenting styles, you want to talk to your teacher, you want to talk about teaching styles, you know, so you can stop feeling like, you know, when you leave class at the end of the day that you want to, you know, pull your hair out. Like, she teaches you how to get through your day even as a teacher. So she definitely has a lot of knowledge for everyone. I definitely will be sharing her information with my family and my friends and my network. As I always say, live your best life, be unapologetic. As long as you're not lying, killing, or stealing from anyone, be your best self, regardless of who has an opinion on your life. Be unapologetic, live your best life. And as I always say, in this season, what we're going to do is we're going to say fly. First love who? Yourself. First love yourself. I'll be back with another episode next week. We're going to still be talking about relationships, dating, family, friends. We're going to dig into another hot topic, polygamy. Yes, we'll be back. I know Lori has something to say. I think Lori may be back for polygamy. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye. I'm out.